Church, if I haven't had a chance to meet you yet, I'm Paul Ballington. I get to be the lead pastor here at Local. And as always, we are honored and grateful to have all of you here with us today. And to start us off this morning, I have a confession to make. I love doing that to you guys. Nice long pause, really builds the tension. Some of you guys were looking forward to what I was going to say a little too much, and you need to check your heart on that, okay? But the confession that I want to make is this, is that I love ceremonies. Specifically, like any kind of ceremony where someone's like getting appointed, maybe it's like an inauguration, it's a commissioning of some sort, like something about it, it just fascinates me. Like even weddings, especially the ones that I'm not officiating and I get to just go to and attend, like I am dialed in. I'm listening to everyone, every word. I want to hear every word that's spoken. And I love these because these moments are very important. Like for a lot of us, some of them, these moments might seem like they're just a formality, but it marks an important moment in that person's life. Like usually from those moments, they're going off to do something really, really big. So I love all the ceremonies, all the different ones, weddings, graduations, the presidential inauguration, ordination ceremonies at churches, business and restaurant grand openings, any kind of military ceremony, our baptisms here, our parent commissioning that we do at the church. I love all of them. And the one that I love and really look forward to the most, it's going to blow your guys' mind, the NFL draft, okay? I look forward to it every year, okay? I usually watch at least all of the first round, and I just love watching these guys get picked on different teams and then watching them celebrate with their friends and their family. And, like, this is a huge moment for these guys. They've worked their whole lives to hopefully hear their name get called by the NFL draft. And the moment that they hear their name get called, it changes everything about everything for them, especially if they're in the first round. Like, not only are they going to get to pursue their dream of playing professional football, but the second that they do that, like, in the first round, a lot of these first-round guys, they make a lot of money before they ever even play one down of football. Like, just this year, my team, the Raiders, you guys don't laugh at me, but that's my team, all right? Just this year, we picked Ashton Jeanty for a running back in the first round, okay? And this guy, he's killing it so far as a rookie, having a great season. But before he played even one down of NFL football, he made $22.7 million. At least that's what the internet told me this week, okay? So his commissioning in that moment of the NFL draft, it changed everything for the rest of his life. That commissioning is a big deal. But imagine with me this, church. Imagine with me what a waste it would have been if Ashton never would have played a down of football. We'd go back to that moment that he got picked, and we'd wonder, like, did he understand what happened when he got picked? Does he realize what the NFL is? Like, how big a deal this is? Does he realize what he was commissioned and picked to do? We'd all probably wonder, like, what happened? Maybe not all of us, but me for sure. I would definitely wonder what had happened in that moment, right? Just a couple weeks ago, I got to go with some friends to the Monday night football game up in Jacksonville, and it was the Jaguars versus the Chiefs. It was a really awesome game to be at. It came down to the last play of the game, and this stadium was packed out. Like, there's 70,000 people there in the stadium, and the place only sits 67,000. So they were selling tickets at standing room only. And it was a really great game, had a really great experience and good time with my friends. But could you imagine if we would have showed up to watch the game and all the players would have just stayed sitting on the bench and they refused to play? Both 53-man teams would have just sat on the bench and did absolutely nothing, even though that they've been picked and commissioned to play the game. Like, that'd be crazy, right? We'd be dumbfounded by what was happening. The NFL wouldn't last long if that happened. It would be wild, at least for all the football fans here, right? It would be hard to comprehend what was happening. So let me drop some hard truth on us real quick, church. That hypothetical situation that we're talking about, this is actually a reality in the church today. Let me explain. Somewhere down the line, a lot of Christians have forgotten what God has commissioned them to do. A lot of Christians have gotten really comfortable and forgotten what God has called them to do. And maybe not even so much forgotten, but we've just gotten really, really comfortable and we don't want to leave that comfort. What I'm talking about is our mission as Christians, as followers of Jesus. We are all called to take part in the mission, which is the Great Commission that Jesus gave us as he ascended back to heaven after his resurrection. This is what he told us. Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." This is the Great Commission. If you've been in church for any amount of time, and maybe if even today is your first time ever in church, you've probably heard this scripture. This is the mission of every follower of Jesus that has ever lived and is to go and make disciples. But right now, at least in America, church looks more like an empty football field with players sitting on the benches and not getting in the game, rather than us being this thriving, massive community of people, taking Jesus every single way where we go, pushing back the darkness of our world by making disciples. Somehow, we've forgotten, or we're too afraid to leave our comfort, to accept the authority that Jesus has given us, and then to commit to the commission. So today, we're going to be reminded of this, the Great Commission, and what it means for us who follow Jesus. And just imagine with me for a second, church. Imagine with me if we were not facing this dilemma in the church right now. What if instead of the benches being full, the benches cleared, and every follower of Jesus was going and making disciples? Like, we've all seen those games where the team wins and like the crowd rushes the field, right? They run onto the field. Like, it's such an awesome moment to see them celebrating. Imagine if every follower of Jesus was living every day trying to make disciples, like every day they were waking up to play the Super Bowl. Now that would be a sight to see, church. And that's actually what Jesus intends for us as his followers to do. So today we're going to be reminded of the Great Commission and what it looks like to really follow Jesus. If you have your Bibles or devices with you today, we're going to be in Matthew 28, verses 16 through 20. You can track along on the program that you should have received on your way in, and all the scripture and everything will be up on the screens as well. And today is the final week of our Raising the Bar series. And for the last few weeks, we've been looking at, hey, what does it really mean to follow Jesus? We've been looking at how when we follow Jesus, like really that decision is a burn the ships moment. When we step into a relationship with Jesus and we confess him as Lord and Savior of our life and we believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, this changes everything about anything for our entire lives. Now, the reason that we're doing this series is because over the last 50 years or so in the Western church here in America, tragically, we've watered down and we've lowered the bar on what it looks like to follow Jesus. And tragically, somewhere in the last 50 years, we've come to this conclusion that casual Christianity is actually a real thing, when actually there is no such thing. Because really, following Jesus changes everything about anything for us in our lives. So what we've been doing the last few weeks is we've been raising the bar and we've been really going into, hey, going all in on this is what it looks like to follow Jesus. And I know, church, I know that there's been a lot of conviction. I know that there's been a lot of growth. And I'm excited to see what God continues today, because it's going to be absolutely no different. We're going to end this series by looking at the focal point of the entire Bible. Everything in the Old Testament and the New Testament points to this moment that we are going to study today between Jesus and his disciples. And if you're a follower of Jesus here today, you're included in this moment with Jesus. So today, it really should awaken our hearts. It should give us a renewed passion and a renewed motivation for why we were put on this planet and why God has us alive and walking this planet for such a time as this. This is how it starts, church. Matthew 28, verses 16 and 17. It says, "Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted." So we are in the last five verses of the Gospel of Matthew. This is one account of Jesus' life here on earth, and a whole lot has happened in the 28 chapters leading up to these five verses. Now, Matthew, it covers the birth of Jesus, Jesus' baptism, how he picked his 12 core disciples, all the miracles, the signs, the wonders, the powerful teachings, his death, his burial, his resurrection. Like, no doubt about it, church, all four of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the accounts of Jesus' life on earth, these are the most important and most impactful historical events to ever happen and to be documented in the history of the world. This is God's word that he inspired men to write down for us to have to enjoy and then also to be used to change the world. And the entirety of the Bible, the Old Testament and the New, it's leading up to this moment right here. This is the climax of the Bible for Jesus to give us our mission as his followers. And this is right after Jesus was wrongfully judged. He had to endure a punishment and a death that he didn't deserve. And then he rose from the dead, defeating death and defeating sin. And now he calls his disciples out of hiding to make sure they know, like, listen, men, I've conquered death. I've conquered hell. I've conquered sin. The victory has been achieved. It's time to come out of hiding because we got some work to do. And what I want us to focus on here, just a minute before we continue on, is the two responses that we see from the disciples. It says they worshiped him, but some doubted. So after Jesus had been killed on the cross and the disciples, they went into hiding. They're scared that they're going to be killed as well. They're locked in this upper room hiding when the two Marys show up to him and tell him, hey, we've seen Jesus. And Jesus tells them, hey, go meet me on this mountain in Galilee. They show up, and then it says they worshiped and some doubted. Two different responses. And church, I think that accurately represents all of us here today. Some of us are here worshiping. Some of us are here and we have doubts. Some of us are doing both at the same time. What I want you to hear really clear right now is, like, there's nothing wrong with doubt. Every single follower of Jesus struggles with doubts. Doubt does not lessen your role as a disciple. It doesn't weaken your faith. If anything, those doubts that we wrestle with, they usually always end up strengthening our faith. But what we can't have, church, is we can't have fear. Having fear means that we have an absence of faith. See, all the disciples, they came worshiping and some doubted. And Jesus had to call them out of their fear. And for a lot of us here today, we need Jesus to call us out of our fear so that we can do what he's telling us to do. And this is why Jesus' first words to them on this mountain are this in verse 18. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." All authority on heaven and on earth has been given to me. These are 12 words by Jesus that change everything about everything, church. This is Jesus' claim that is going to call us out of our fear and lead us to the commission. We have to remember, church, this was not just for the 11 disciples that were there in that moment with Jesus on the mountain, okay? This is for every single follower of Jesus that has ever lived and ever will live. Jesus is telling us, hey, I have authority over every single thing. Over everything in all of creation, he has authority. Meaning all of creation will bow their knee to Jesus at some point, church. Here's the deal with this. Whether you want to accept this truth or not, it doesn't change the fact that Jesus does have supreme authority. For a lot of us here right now, as followers of Jesus, this is what we got to do. No matter where we're at in our walk, what we have to do together here this morning is we have to accept the authority of Jesus. That's our first point together this morning. Accept the authority of Jesus. Out of Jesus' claim on supreme authority comes the commission. But before we get to the commission, we got to accept this authority. We cannot brush over this 12 words by Jesus. The 11 disciples, they needed to accept this that day. to call them out of their fear and their hiding, and it needs to work the same for a lot of us here right now. We need to accept Jesus' authority so that we can come out of fear and we can come out of hiding. We have to fully realize this, that we do not serve a Savior that has some authority or even half authority. Our Savior has total and complete supreme authority over everything that's here, everything in heaven, everything in existence. We have to accept the authority of Jesus to understand the weight of this and his authority before we commit to the commissioning. Because if we understand the weight and the supremacy of Jesus' authority, it's going to be really, really hard for us to sit on the bench and not be out on the field running the play. When we talk about Jesus' authority, I think one of the reasons that we don't realize his authority is because somewhere down the line, like, our perception of Jesus wasn't really grounded in reality. You know, if your upbringing was anything like mine, the first physical representation of Jesus I ever saw was this beautiful painting of Jesus in my grandma's house, kind of like this one right here, right? Anybody else grow up seeing that? Now, while this is a beautiful painting of our Savior Jesus, let's be real, okay? This isn't probably what Jesus looked like on his time on earth. His skin's clean and shiny. His beard and his hair, they're completely in place, like perfect light shining on Jesus. You see the one where he's holding the spotless white lamb. It's beautiful. Don't get me wrong, church, okay? Maybe you guys still have some of these paintings hanging in your house. Keep them up. They're awesome, okay? But let's be real. Jesus was a first century Jewish man that was a carpenter by trade, and he lived a lot of his life out in the wilderness. And back when Jesus was a carpenter, okay, they didn't have Milwaukee cordless drills and skill saws, okay? Everything was done by hand. I'm pretty sure it's safe to say that Jesus was jacked, okay? All right, men? Men, he was the man that you would follow into battle, okay? Just picture a Middle Eastern version of the wrestler Triple H, okay? Might be a little bit off, but I think it's closer to reality than these beautiful paintings that we grew up seeing. Now, I want you to hear this. When we get to the book of Revelation, it tells us what Jesus is going to be like when he comes back and when he completely eliminates and stomps sin out. He's going to come back riding a horse. He's going to have fire in his eyes. He's going to have swords coming out of his mouth. He's going to have tattoos on his legs. He's going to be wearing a white robe dripped in blood. That will be a full showing of his authority. And whether you recognize it right now or not, at that time, every knee and every tongue will bow before Jesus and call him Lord and Savior, okay? This is our Savior. This is who has authority over absolutely everything. Every angel, every demon, every creature, the wind, the waves, every single person. That's our Savior. That's Jesus. That's his authority. But if we accepted it, if we have, then why are we still on the bench? If this is the Savior that we serve and the Savior that paid for our sins on the cross, why are we not rushing the field, saturating it with the gospel every single place we go? Jesus told us his authority so that it would give us confidence as we follow the commission. He had to set that up before he gives us these next words in verses 19 and 20. It says this, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of age." So here's a Bible study tip, church. Anytime you see a therefore, back up and see what the therefore is there for, okay? We just spent 15 minutes talking about all of that. So out of that authority that we know Jesus has, he says, go and make disciples. This is the Great Commission. Again, this is the mission of every follower of Jesus that has ever lived, that ever will live, and is living right now. Our main mission is always to make disciples. This is the purpose of everything we do. And what happens is when we make disciples, the other imperatives happen. We baptize, we teach them to obey the teachings and the commands of Jesus. That's called discipleship. All that other stuff happens. But again, church, over the last 50 years, we've watered down and we've lowered the bar on what following Jesus is. And somehow, we think that casual Christianity has become this real thing. And somehow over the last 50 years, the capital C church all over the world, all 3.2 billion of us, a lot of us haven't really committed to the commission. And instead of us going everywhere making disciples, it looks more like this empty field with every player that's sitting on the bench. And too many of us, we've gotten real comfortable. And we think that this disciple-making role is to be fulfilled by others, pastors, the missionaries that go out into third world countries, the extroverts who are comfortable talking with people. And church, here's the reality. Because that's our mindset, there's 2 billion people alive on this planet right now that have never, ever heard the name of Jesus. That's why out of the 11,000 different people groups on the planet, over 6,000 of them have never heard the name Jesus. This is why more churches shut down in America every year than open. It's because we haven't accepted the authority of Jesus and we haven't committed to the commission. So what we're going to do here this morning, it's going to change. We're going to commit to the commission. It's our final point together today. We're going to commit to the commission. If we know and have accepted the authority of Jesus, the only real response is to commit to the commission. Now, for some people, this doesn't make sense. Using your whole life to tell the world about Jesus. But really, when you think about it, like Taylor said in her video, Jesus is who he really says he is. Telling the world about Jesus is the only thing that does make sense. What doesn't make sense is doing the opposite. This means, church, there is no such thing as following Jesus and not making disciples. This means for a church to have any other mission than making disciples, it isn't an option. That's why our mission statement here at Local is this, is we exist to engage and create disciples in Mims, Florida through the life-changing message of Jesus, the gospel. This is what we do. It's why we exist. God allows us to have all these other roles in life as, you know, husbands, as wives, as parents, grandparents, aunts, uncles, the different jobs that we do, absolutely. But our main mission in life, if you're a follower of Jesus, is to be a disciple that makes disciples. We are all missionaries living on mission to make disciples where we live, work, and play. Charles Spurgeon, he's a well-known preacher called the Prince of Preachers from the 1800s in England. He said this, every Christian is either a missionary or an imposter. That'll get you. Listen to this next quote. This one really gets me. This is by Oswald J. Smith. Any church that is not seriously involved in helping fulfill the Great Commission has forfeited its biblical right to exist. Again, that last one really gives me a gut punch, and it's not in a bad way. It's in the best kind of way. It reminds me what all of this is about. And as God allows me to be in this lead role here at Local, this is the one thing that'll keep me up at night, church. If I don't think that we're doing this here at Local, see, the attendance numbers, that doesn't keep me up at night. The baptism numbers, those don't keep me up at night. Giving numbers don't do that. But if I ever feel that Local is not a church that is being used by God, that is full of disciples making disciples, that's what's going to keep me up at night, because this is why we are here. And if we go and make disciples, all those other things are going to take care of themselves. It's the most important thing that we do. But it takes every single one of us, church. It's not just a select few. This is the hub of the axle that everything else turns on. Telling those people that don't know about Jesus, telling them about Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, the gospel, and making disciples. Now, I know it's real easy. You start hearing statistics like that. We hear about 2 billion people that have never heard the name of Jesus, and we can easily think, well, that's off in some foreign land, and some of them are. But also, some of those 2 billion people live right next door to us. Some of those 2 billion people work elbow to elbow with us every single day. Some of those 2 billion people are out at the ball fields, the soccer fields, and the football fields every weekend. Some of those 2 billion people are walking through the door of your business every single day. And here's the deal, church. If we follow Jesus, we have the knowledge of the greatest truth in all of existence in our heart and in our minds. And are we not sharing it with them? So again, imagine with me, church, that this dilemma in the church stops and the bench is clear and every follower of Jesus accepts the authority of Jesus and then commits to the Great Commission. Imagine what would actually happen. I can actually tell you what would happen. If every single follower of Jesus led three people to Jesus and had three disciples in their lifetime, just three people total in their lifetime, not three different people every 3 years, but three people in your lifetime, and then those three disciples discipled another three people, this is what would happen, church. The Great Commission would be complete in one generation. That means before our children had children, every person on the face of the planet would have been able to hear the gospel of Jesus and given an opportunity to respond. This is why making disciples is the mission. That's why there's no such thing as following Jesus and not making disciples. See, we are Jesus' plan A through Z to reach the world with the gospel. Now, as a church, we are all in on reaching MIMS with the gospel and creating and making disciples right here in our area. But we do serve a global God who's moving and working all over the world at all times. So we also partner globally with making disciples. And we do that in a couple ways. Some of you guys already know this. But one, we monthly right now as a church, we support two international missionaries. One's in North Africa and the other's in Central Asia. And they are very much making disciples. We also have one of our very own right here at Local. One of our young women is working through the process of becoming an international missionary, and we're going to be sending her out next year. You guys are going to hear more about that in the coming months. But something else that we're doing is we also have a team of men. They're going to a place this week that is full of people who have never, ever heard the name Jesus. They're going there to serve and to do all kinds of things, but they are serving so that they can make disciples. So real quick, I want you guys to meet some of these men that are going on this trip. Tyler, you and your guys ready to come out here? Tyler's going. Pastor Tyler's leading this trip. John Marr's going. Mike Simmons, Rob Reiser. We got a few others that are going. These are with us right now. So I just wanted you guys as a church to know what we're doing and know what's going to be going on with this trip. Tyler, tell them a little bit about where you guys are going and what's going on.
Yeah. So in August, I took my son actually on the first trip to Cuba. We went with the Grove and did a vacation Bible school there. I got to meet a lot of the pastors there, which let me tell you guys, like they are on fire for learning more about Christ. Coming from an area with a lot of oppression, you know, coming from a communist country, and Fidel Castro, like in 59, banned Christianity. That's actually lifted right now, praise God. And the churches are growing like crazy. There's a church there right now. One of the pastors named Juan Carlos asked us to bring a team to finish their church build out that they're doing now. So we're going to be doing a lot of concrete work, doing some street ministry too, just sharing the gospel. And yeah, we got a group of five of us going over there. And we're, again, Matthew 28 and 19, just being the hands and feet of Jesus, sharing the gospel with the people of Cuba. It's going to be an awesome time.
What are you guys working? Aren't you guys helping build a church? Isn't that what's finishing the work?
So we're building a church. They started some of it now. It's I went to this church when we were there for the VBS, and Juan Carlos, he's an awesome guy, but they've been meeting right now in the basically behind his house in this little lean-to shed, and he's got about 100 people coming every week. You know, and there's no power, you know, like the power surges on and off and all kinds of stuff like that. And this is really going to give them the ability to meet safely and really just love on these families even more. So it's an awesome opportunity.
Yeah, no, it is awesome. And yeah, they're going down there to serve, but the primary reason they're going is to make disciples. So men, I'm excited for you guys. It's going to be a great week. We all can't wait to hear all the stories that you guys come back with. I know that'll be great. But let me just pray over you, men, real quick, before you guys send out. They're leaving next Saturday, Tyler?
Next Saturday.
Next Saturday. They'll be there for about a week. So you guys just keep them in your prayers, Tyler and the whole team, you know, that God would use them in a powerful way and prepare all the people they're going to talk with, that they're going to reach with Jesus. So I'm going to pray over you guys real quick. God, thank you so much for all that you are. God, thank you for how you're working through local, how you're using us to be a part of your great commission, God. Thank you that you have allowed us to know your authority and that you have made us and allowed us to come into this mission with you and be partnered with you to do the work that you're doing. You don't need us, but you allow us to join in that, God. So we're just so grateful for that. I pray over these men right now, Lord, as they prepare this week to get ready and to leave on Saturday, God, would you give them safe travels? Would everything go as smooth as it possibly can? Lord, would you prepare their minds and their hearts and their souls for the people that they're going to meet, the people that are far from you, Lord. Prepare those people. Prepare these men to share the hope and the love that you offer, Jesus. You are the way, the truth, and the life. Would you guide these men? Would you protect them? Would you bless the work that they're going to do? Would it all bring you all the glory, God? And would there be disciples made in the next coming week? Lord, we love you. We thank you. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Appreciate it, man. Church, give it up for them, these guys. They've been raising funds for a few months, getting ready to go. You know, all these guys work, have full-time jobs. They're taking off time from their families to go down there and serve. And I know so many of you are chomping at the bit to go on mission trips. Don't worry, we're going to have plenty of opportunities more next year. So there's no doubt about it that those men that were just up here, like, they have accepted the authority of Jesus and they are committed to the commission. But where are the rest of us at with this morning, right now? If you're here and you're a follower of Jesus, have you accepted? Are you committed? Are you feeling convicted? Has your heart and your soul been reawakened to the mission today? Are you going to walk out of this place today on mission, realizing that you have a role to play in this, that it's your purpose to be a disciple that makes disciples? Our hope and our prayer as a church is that that's what it would be. And this is what we're going to do as a church, okay? Like I said, local will be a church that makes disciples. So while Tyler and the men are in a different country making disciples, we're going to get to work right here in MIMS this week. And I want to challenge all of you with this. I want you to make a list of all the people that you know and love that don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior. And I want you to keep a running list forever and ever in your life of those people that you know. I've had a list for many years now. I had a mentor challenge me with this years ago. And right now, as of this morning, that list has 48 names on it. And as much as I can, I pray for those folks by name. And I pray and I ask God, would you open up their minds and their hearts to receive the gospel? And Lord, anytime there's an opportunity for me to be around them, and if the opportunity presents itself to share the hope that I have in you, Jesus, would you make it clear to me? And would I be bold? Would I be obedient? Would I stay committed to the commission? Now, what's so cool, church, once you start keeping this list, is like over the years, that list is going to fluctuate and it's going to change. And I've seen some of those names, a lot of those names, come to know Jesus. And some of those names that used to be on that list years ago, those same people ended up being on the core team that started local church. Some of those names that used to be on that list are in this room right now and had their hands lifted this morning worshiping Jesus. And they are now disciples making disciples. So the challenge is this, church: make a list of your own. Start praying for those names. And your goal this week is to get them to church next Sunday, okay? Next Sunday is going to be 1791 Sunday. Some of you know what 1791 means. If you don't know, you're going to know all about it after next week. But next Sunday, church, is the Sunday of all Sundays to get your people to church, 9:30 or 11 o'clock. And they are absolutely going to hear the gospel loud and clear, and they're going to have an opportunity to respond. Let's be a church that is full of disciples, that is committed to the commission to make disciples. But here's the deal with all of this, church, okay? We could do all the things. We could set up the services. We can preach the sermons. We give them the word. And God moves in all those things. But that's the deal, is that God has to move for any of this to happen. I can preach the best messages, but if God doesn't want to move, it's not going to happen. We're responsible to go and tell, but God's responsible for the response, okay? So this week, what I want to challenge some of you to do with me, make your list of names, and then Wednesday of this week, I just want you to join me in this. I'm going to fast all day for 24 hours on Wednesday, and every hour on the hour, I'm going to pray for those 48 names on my list. And I'm also going to do that, showing our dependence on God, that he has to do what he has to do. Maybe you want to fast from food. Maybe you want to fast from something else. But fasting is simply that, just showing our dependence on God, understanding that he is the one that has all authority and that he has to move for this to happen. So my challenge is, would you join me in that this Wednesday? Let's fast. Let's pray. Let's go. Let's tell. Let's invite. I mean, do everything short of sin to get your people here next Sunday, okay? Don't knock them out. Don't do anything against the law to get them here, okay? But you know what I mean. Aggravate them, you're going to invite them so much, okay? This, because this is reality. Like, I've been trying to reach my neighbors that live right next door to me with Jesus for 4 years now. And this is where you'll get as a follower of Jesus, when you really accept the authority of Jesus and you're committed to the commission, is he's just going to work and work and work in your heart. And when I'm at home at night hanging out with my family, if I start to think about my neighbors that don't know Jesus, my heart just starts to break. It's like, man, it's like you guys are beautiful people. You got beautiful families. But if life ended today, I don't know that you know Jesus. That's how we have to operate, church. With a sense of urgency, we never know what tomorrow is going to bring. So, church, I hope that you would join me in that challenge. Make your list. Join me this Wednesday. We'll fast. We'll pray every hour on the hour for those names. Go and tell, invite. Get your people to church. Next Sunday is going to be incredible. And I'm believing we're just going to show full dependence on God, and he's going to show up and show off next week. And we're going to see tons and tons of people come to know the Lord. Amen. This is what I want to do as we shut down and continue to close in worship. Some of you have those names on your heart right now. You already know the people that you're trying to reach. You know the people that need to be reached. Maybe you need some courage this week to make those invites. I promise you, all my introverts, God wants to use you to make disciples too, okay? Maybe you need some courage. Me and the team, we're going to be right over here. Come up here. Let us pray for you. Let us join you in prayer for those names. Maybe some of you want to come down here to the altar and pray for those names and just go ahead and start giving it to God. And then maybe you're here and you've heard me talk a whole lot about the mission of followers of Jesus. And maybe you never knew that. Maybe you never knew that we all existed to do that. And you've never placed your faith in Jesus. Well, maybe today is your commissioning moment. Maybe you finally realize, wow, you know what? It says Jesus has authority over absolutely everything, including you. And maybe you've heard the gospel, maybe you never had, but here's the truth. We're all born with a sinful nature that separates us from God. He can have nothing to do with sin. So what he did in response to that is he sent his son Jesus from heaven to earth to live the only perfect life ever lived, to die a death that he did not deserve, and then to raise from the dead, defeating death, defeating sin, claiming victory. And when you place your faith and your hope and your trust in that truth, you will be saved. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. All those who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. So maybe for some of you here today, that salvation moment is right now. Just like Taylor shared on her video, she was sitting in there and she finally figured out, you know what? God has been choosing me over and over and over again, and he's been so patient with me. And just let me encourage you, friend, you can't out-sin the grace of God. So if you think that you're unacceptable to him and you've done something that disqualifies you, that is not the truth. You have not out-sinned him. He loves you right where you're at, and he's going to keep loving you, and he's going to transform your life. So if that's you, I would love for you to respond today as well. And you can be commissioned today, and you can be inviting people next week and watch their lives get changed as well. But as the team leads us in worship, I'm going to pray for us. Let's respond, church. Let's go. Let's make disciples. Dear God, thank you so much for all that you are. God, you're so, so good. Thank you for your word. Thank you for allowing us to be a church. Jesus, thank you for all that you're allowing local to be a part of. Thank you for the team of men that is going to Cuba this next week, God. Lord, I pray for every person in this room right now, God. Anyone here that claims to be a follower of you, Jesus, would you reawaken their hearts and their souls? Would they accept fully the authority that you have, Jesus? Would they be committed to the commission? God, as we pray this week and show our dependence on you, God, would you show up and would you show off, Lord? Would our people come, the people that are far from you, Jesus, would they be brought near? And would they come to the knowledge and the trust and the faith in you, Jesus, as Lord and Savior? God, be with us this week as we go and make disciples. And I pray for the individual that's here right now that has not trusted you yet, Jesus, with their life. Would they make that decision today? Would they not leave this place without knowing the love that you have for them and walking out of here with their eternity promised, with their mission being full of purpose, hope, love, joy, and peace. Lord, we love you. We thank you. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.